Yo, 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 what is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode, a new season of the Win-Win Effect Show presented by WinJet Studios. I am your host, Chris Ross. If you haven't forgotten, ready to be back. I'm getting a lot of messages from the communities of Win Season 6 coming out, and we are going to kick it off the way that we should with a beautiful human. Today, we have Emily Freeman. Emily Freeman is a love dating coach. She empowers men to be a little bit more confident and attract the type of dream woman that they're looking for and seeking in life. And everyone wants to be loved. But Emily, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We've had a phenomenal conversation. I felt like we could probably have spoken for a few hours and not even realizing a couple hours went by. I think you're in San Diego this week.
I'm in San Diego. I spend my time both in Scottsdale, Arizona and San Diego, California. So
I have some love and some shout out to some of my friends out there in the Scottsdale area that used to go out. There's some of my old stomping grounds in North Scottsdale, but it's been fun. And I'm really excited to have you come on and shine a light on some of the things that you go over and how you're making such a huge impact. And most people don't realize this, that she's actually, her handle on Instagram is Emily Freeman Coaching, if I believe, correct?
Yes. Yes.
So if you haven't, if you're not following her, I'm pretty sure if you listen to this whole episode, you're going to be following her and really engaging with her. She shares phenomenal content, but she's been taking the world by storm since COVID started. Well, in the middle of COVID, somewhere around there, starting her business. And she's really making an impact and also in the engagement side with her Instagram and different types of her communities. I think you have a newsletter now.
I do. Yeah. I just launched it the other week. It's a biweekly newsletter. And then there's also a private community on Facebook. So a whole bunch of awesome men are on there just supporting each other. And I do live Q&As in there. I do some free webinars there as well too. So yeah, just getting everybody as engaged as possible and, you know, letting this information be more public and more out there because it's so important.
It's been important for both sides, you know, I mean, in any type of relationships, even you look at the parents or the communities. I mean, if you don't have a strong relationship and you're putting these masks on, and then a lot of people are putting masks on, trying to be somebody they're not, and obviously trying to show themselves to an individual. I think one of the best posts that I did see, and it caught my attention, my team put together a whole list, and I remember my voice notes. But I was like, I think it was the one that was chasing and pursuing.
Yes.
There's a massive difference.
There's a big difference. And I think a lot of men get this confused because a lot of the times when we grow up, and especially growing up in Western society, the idea of, although around the world this happens, the idea of playing hard to get. Right. And how women will play hard to get. And so for a lot of men, it can be really confusing if a woman is playing this game or if she's not interested. And, you know, this talking about the difference between pursuing and chasing is so important because there are women who are emotionally available, who are, you know, going to be potential great partners, who allow the man to lead in the beginning of the dating process because she wants to understand how committed he is to the dating process and how interested he is in her. Now, this doesn't mean that she's not responding to his text messages or not accepting date requests. That is a woman who's not truly interested, right? This is a woman who's reciprocating. And that puts you in, or men in, a pursuit versus a chase, which chasing is going after a woman who's not reciprocating at all. And now the other important piece of this that I touch on is that a lot of men don't realize women, especially women being taught by dating coaches for women, are taught how to lean back into their feminine energy and allow a man to pursue because it builds the attraction on his side. So a woman, if she's interested in you, might actually allow you to pursue more. Now, like I said, that means she's still responding to you. She's engaged, but that doesn't mean she's going to be the first one to text you all the time or to be chasing you, right? A woman who's chasing you a lot of the time is looking for validation. And, you know, that can get you into a dating situation, into a relationship that isn't always healthy or doesn't have an uplifting dynamic. So really important.
It is really important. And I think you touched on something where girls or women in this type of situation, right? It doesn't really matter, girls or guys or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that there's some pivotal areas of opportunity here to talk about this for the listeners, because you know, I do have a good mix. Actually, to be honest with you, I looked at the demographics and I have 70%, I was thinking 70% women that listen to the show, which is, I think it's a testament also me having phenomenal interviews with, you know, some major women and female empowerment and type of stuff coming on. But you touched on something. It could be on both sides of this. And I'm going to try to frame this question.
Okay.
The attachment styles. And that's what you were alluding to. And I think that you use, do you use those as like pillars of understanding and increasing awareness on both sides first?
100%. It's so important to understand your dating habits or the way that you're showing up in dating from the lens of attachment theory, because it explains what feels so illogical logically, right? So all of a sudden the pieces get put together where you're like, oh my gosh, this is why I feel great until I start dating and I feel super insecure, or I've blamed myself for every single breakup I've ever had, or why do I overinvest so quickly with women? And to be able to just put a label on it is so empowering to men. You know, there's, I was in one of my group calls the other week. We've been talking about attachment theory when it pertains to dating and the way that you show up in dating and understanding self-sabotage. And something that came up was, I said, you know, it is totally possible for you to have tendencies of an anxious attacher as well as a secure attacher, or tendencies of an avoidant. So sometimes it's easier just to label the tendencies versus putting a whole label on yourself.
Right.
Because sometimes that can feel disempowering to people. But when I first learned about attachment theory, it was like, whew, my mind was blown. I was like, everything in my life makes sense now. I'm good, you know? But then you have to actually go through and actually heal your attachment and understand how to manage it as well too, and how to manage it from the lens of who you're attracted to and who you attract.
I'll see if I can guess what your old one was before. We won't share that just yet, but just for the listeners, what are the attachment styles?
Yeah. So the main four are anxious, avoidant, and secure. Yeah. So an anxious attacher has a fear of abandonment. So their attachment patterns are purely based on making sure that they are not left, right? So they have this underlying fear. And as we know from the law of attraction, or if you don't, what you think is what you create. So an anxious attacher is continually creating abandonment in their life over and over again. And so it's usually, just to caveat, your attachment style is usually created in childhood from your caretakers and from your upbringing, and reinforced in relationships throughout your life, right? Because if you have certain beliefs, then you're going to believe that someone will leave you because, you know, for an anxious attacher, it's that they're too needy, or that they have too big of a heart. They love too hard, right? They have so much love to give, but they have these deep-rooted insecurity. Almost a lot of the times, anxious attachers will feel like there's something intrinsically wrong with them. They're convinced that like this piece of them is going to get figured out by their partners. So it's interesting too, because when you look at attachment styles, and I'm like, I could just go off on this right now.
No. This is why I asked the question. Yeah.
So when you look at attachment styles, so first and foremost, an avoidant then has a conscious fear of intimacy, meaning closeness, right? They have a fear of engulfment. What's fascinating about attachment styles is that there's the subconscious fear, the opposite fear.
Yes.
So an anxious attacher actually has a subconscious fear of intimacy. So to a certain extent, they actually are afraid of that closeness because they think that it's going to, what's going to create the abandonment, right? And so the avoidant has a subconscious fear of abandonment. And this is what creates what's called the anxious avoidant trap.
Yes.
Right? They each have those stories.
You're hitting like landmines of triggers for people. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're triggering each other's fears. And if you've only experienced that in your life from childhood, then you equate that triggering, that intensity with infatuation, with love, with attraction.
So say, for instance, you're dating someone in an early process and you're maybe potentially looking at some triggers and you're walking into a, I guess you would say, psychological warfare, right? You have no idea which buttons to push, but you're just trying to be your true authentic self. But you do notice, and say, for instance, you're secure and your attachment style is best equipped with you know, I don't know, another secure, but if you have an avoidance type of person that you're dealing with their insecurities, here's where I have failed in previous relationships. I would find myself trying to fix the other individual or provide them, you know what I mean? Some tools. One of my great friends, Anthony Trucks, and shout out to Trucks, man. I love him. He loved him to death. He actually helped me with this piece. I've known him for years. It's your job not to have plants and things growing on your fertilizer. You need to give them the seeds, plant the seeds, and allow them to get their fuel or get their, you know, water or getting their nourishment on their land for them to fix their own problems. Mm-hmm. Right. So I thought that was really good sound advice, but sometimes when you're in a relationship and you're emotionally invested, maybe potentially years and years and years, you can get to a situation where you're overdoing it.
Yeah.
What advice would you give someone in that type of situation if they're lacking that type of communication?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I would ask that person who's trying to fix another person is, what are you avoiding working on within yourself?
That's good.
Because a lot of the times we are trying to solve an internal conflict externally because it seems easier, right? Mm-hmm. It can be really scary to think about like looking under the covers of your own fears, your own shadow, but it's really not that scary. But a lot of the times people will avoid it by looking at what other people are doing wrong or how they could be better. Now, the other thing that can happen here is if you have unhealed wounds from your childhood, from your life, you can continue to act those out in relationship in order to heal them. So this looks like, you know, if you never felt accepted as a child, or you never felt truly loved for yourself, or you could never do good enough, right? You can never be enough. You're likely going to choose partners who also make you feel that way because your subconscious is telling you, hey, if I could just get the love of this one person, I'll feel good. Like, I'll finally feel like I'm okay. Because that's what we want at the end of the day, right? We think love is just going to make us feel okay. And love is amazing when it comes from a healthy place. Partnership is so transformative, and it allows you to grow in ways that you can't grow when you're just on your own, right? It takes you to that whole other level, but it needs to be with the right person who's able to hold space for you. And you need to be able to hold space for that person as well too. And when you're trying to fix somebody, you're not actually being emotionally available for them. You are creating distance between the two of them.
I know what you mean by this, but holding space, explain that for the listeners.
So holding space, and this is a great question, is allowing someone to have their own emotional experience. So this can look like listening to somebody, right? Validating their experience, even if you don't agree with it, validating that they're having a certain emotional experience. So it's really just the allowing of somebody to feel whatever it is that they're feeling without judging it or without trying to fix it, which isn't always easy for men, right? Because the masculine is so programmed to want to solve and fix, and it's so beautiful, right? That's how they want to protect women that they love. But sometimes to women, it can feel uninvited and make her feel overwhelmed because she's in a position where she's just in the emotion. She knows what her solution is. A lot of the time she does. She just needs to experience the emotions attached to it. And men have the same thing as well too. There are times where you're like, I know what I need to do, and I have a whole bunch of emotion around what I know I need to do. And it's just about allowing each other to process that emotion without fearing it. We fear our own emotions. We fear other people's emotions. We aren't taught a lot of the time that it's okay. You can still be safe with somebody, even if they have certain emotions, even if they have big emotions, as long as they know how to self-regulate as well too. Now, projection onto another person is a whole other thing. That's not holding space for somebody, right? That's somebody actually not allowing themselves to have their own experience and instead projecting it onto someone else. Fixing is a form of projection.
Right. So, well, that when you're projecting things onto others, it's you're forcing.
Yes.
You're forcing a situation. I've seen a lot of people when they get into certain relationships or they get into a phase of a relationship and they can't move on to the next phase. Is that something that from your coaching experiences with the men that you're helping, you're helping like doctors, physicians, I mean, a lot of, I mean, high level entrepreneurs, high performers. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Is it more of people that are having not the understanding or maybe increasing their awareness of different phases of the relationship and what their responsibilities are?
Yes. Setting expectations of, or setting your boundaries for different.
There it is. That's where I was going.
You're
smart cookie. You knew where I was going.
It's like
that.
I do this or something, you know. setting boundaries throughout and understanding what your boundaries are for each phase of the dating process is so important, especially as the masculine. Right. And we say masculine, guys, or for anyone listening, ladies too, masculine and feminine as the energies, right? So we have sacred energies within us. We have the masculine energy, feminine energy. We all have both energies within us. It's just what your core energy is. And 80% of men have core masculine energy. 80% of women have core feminine. That just means these men are more comfortable in the analyzing, decision-making, and leading in their life, and not as comfortable in the nurturing, you know, being open, playful, right? That doesn't necessarily come as naturally. So when you're in the masculine though, and you're stepping into the dating process as the masculine, it's so important to know what your boundaries are, because the feminine looks to the masculine to lead, right? That doesn't mean the feminine doesn't have a voice. You know, I have to caveat that, because the feminine is really strong in its, in its own right. It's just different. But in the dating process, what creates that polarity is for each person to be in a different energy at each time. That doesn't mean you can't switch between the two. But when a man steps into his masculine and leads the dating process, it is so important that he is able to speak from a place of clarity around what each level or what each piece of the process of dating he's comfortable with, right? So when a man starts to overinvest really early on in the dating process, he's decided by the second date, this is the woman of his dreams, he's going to marry her, and it's okay to have that thought, right? A lot of men who end up marrying certain women have this knowing from the like first, second date. They're like,
we know.
Yeah. It's a very like strong knowing, but it's about managing that and continuing to lead from a place of being boundaried, which
being
literally,
patient.
Yes.
Being
patient. And being patient, because women will feel something. But especially a more secure woman, a more emotionally available woman, a woman who is really established in her own life as well too, and herself, right, knows herself really well, is going to go, okay, this is great. He's saying the right things. He's doing the right things. I'm having so much fun. I'm enjoying this. I want to make sure this is consistent. That's the feminine. The feminine is going to want to know that this is going to be consistent. So it takes a little bit more time. And it's so important for the masculine to hold that safe container for her to explore what it feels like to be with him and to see that he is consistent and committed.
Right. Sometimes I feel people try to over communicate. Now I've seen this in some of my like friends that are women, and you know, these women are high level entrepreneurs. Okay. And they would always say, I'm not approachable. Yeah, you are approachable. Right? It's sometimes you're just getting to the point where you're not attainable, but they would have a playbook. This is how I want to be loved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is how I want to, and they're not willing to compromise.
Right.
They're not willing to come to a mutual agreement, I guess you would say.
Yeah. Well, that's something that's a little tricky in our society right now is, you know, as women, in order to be successful, you have to step largely into your masculine energy, right? 100%. That's how we're taught.
Especially if you've never done it, especially if you don't have anybody there that's done it for you previously, maybe from your upbringing. Like if you're a single, you were maybe a single mom or you didn't have a dad around, you know, something like that.
Yeah. I mean my father was an entrepreneur. He's an MD, he's an acupuncturist.
Got it.
So to say that mindfulness and personal development was in my fabric from birth is like, that's a thing, because I went to my first meditation class when I was three. So he built this really successful practice, and I saw him totally in his masculine, right? And totally consumed with it in a really great way. It was his work. It was his purpose. It was the way he was serving and still does serve our earth and humans on it. And my mom stayed at home and took care of us and my brother and myself and helped my dad with his business. So the example of success as an entrepreneur that I saw was from my father in the masculine. So for a long time in my life, I thought that's how I had to be to get what I wanted. And it worked. I was excelling in school. I excelled in my career.
USC, you know, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, fight on. and so it worked, but in my relationships, I did not. You can't be a go-getter like that, mm-hmm. you know, with other men who are also driven, right? When you're both in the masculine in relationship, it's like, mm-hmm. it's like rams, you know, mm-hmm. with each other. And it comes down to trust, right? There's the wounded masculine and the wounded feminine as well too. And a lot of the times what happens is if you're over-functioning in one or rejecting one, then like the masculine, the wounded masculine is the control, right? So, right. So integrated masculine is not about control. It's about structure, but it's not rigid. It's not mm-hmm. controlling.
Right.
But if you've seen that in your life, or you found that that was how you felt safe or thought you were feeling safe, then you can start to integrate into that. But it doesn't allow for the two to be in relationship together. So for a lot of women, they can fear actually getting into their feminine energy because it doesn't feel safe to them.
Right.
And so it creates,
and self-sabotage themselves, even if something is good.
Absolutely.
And both sides. I'm not talking about just women or
guys. Yes. This is all sides. And, you know, that's what's so beautiful about this work and why, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to work with men is I see so many women, and I've been friends with and masterminds with so many amazing, like that high quality women mm-hmm. in these groups doing the work and having so much trouble finding men who were also doing the work and just so
right.
desperately want to find men who understand.
You can tell. And I'm mm-hmm. telling you, you can pick up on read energy fluid, not to interject on you, but yeah. when you're understanding energy,
yeah.
if you are nervous, mm-hmm. you can pick up on that. And then if you are a person that definitely mirrors well,
yeah,
you can both just be sitting there with nothing else expanding.
Yes.
And that's where you start to see conversations break down
mm-hmm.
where they don't know what to ask. I'm like, that's a human that you don't know.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Like
yes.
I could come up with 50,000 questions. I'm just a naturally curious individual. So I never had that issue.
Right.
But then it can also come across if you don't have anything to say that you're not interested. Or you mm-hmm. really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to trigger a whole landmine if someone is an avoidance. You know what I mean? So. Yeah.
Total. I mean, if someone's an avoidance, not asking the questions, I'm curious how you're putting
right.
those two together.
I'll put those two together just because of them not being, I guess, open to share as okay. much as
yes.
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. No, they avoidance will be, it'll always feel like there's a little bit more that you want to
yes.
know, right? You're like, oh,
I'll let you
just crack
I'll let
this
you and
this.
Also just a little test for the listeners as well. I want anybody can pick up on what ours used to be and where we are now, just based on energy. Go ahead. Yeah,
yes.
This is gonna be fun. All
yeah, right. I love it. So you know. And avoidant will always, it'll be like, oh, he has so much, or she has so much mystery about her. I just can't, mm-hmm. there's something about her, right? There'll be that feeling, especially if you have an anxious attachment where you're like, there's just something about her that I want to know more about. Sometimes that can be someone just having healthy boundaries around what they share with somebody mm-hmm. as well too, or it can be a sign of avoidance. And the way to be able to tell, especially if you're an anxious attacher, is how do you feel when you, the next morning after the date, right? Mm-hmm. So when the next day, when you maybe haven't talked to her or even 24 hours from then, how do you feel? And if you start to feel more anxious, then likely your subconscious is being activated by the avoidance. Because what will happen with an avoidant, especially if you do like inspire her to open up, is that level of intimacy, of closeness, they'll need to energetically remove themselves from it for a little period mm-hmm. of time. They will eventually come back again if they're interested, but they will need that energetic space for a period of time. And you will feel that because anxious attachers are very in tune with other people's emotions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
they're typically very emotionally intelligent people.
Yes.
Typically. Because I mean, a lot of I find in my experiences of being around humans, mm-hmm. there's a book that I read back, and it was actually written, and I mentioned on this show a lot. It's Dr. Eric Byrne. It's Games People Play.
Mm-hmm.
when I read that book, it changed my life. Mm-hmm. So when I started studying the human psychology and biology of the human brain and a lot of different things of what triggers people to do certain things, mm-hmm. I realized that there's ploys and there's a lot of different stuff that they project out, and maybe potentially people that are manipulators, or there's mm-hmm. actually people out there who are in dating situations pretending to date and they're just looking to get laid. You know right. what I mean? So there, you got to pick up on things when something just doesn't feel right.
Yes.
And usually those feelings that you have at the beginning are usually the reasons why you end up ending the relationship at the end, but you're mm-hmm. ignoring these red flags, right?
Yes.
So I saw a meme the other day and it was really funny. Someone sent it to me. It's like, didn't you see all these red flags? I thought I was at a carnival. Anyways, but.
My favorite color is red. There's that meme too. Oh, here's a bunch of red flags or something.
I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. But yeah. When you get in that type of situation, and there's a lot of people, it's kind of like a tug of war type of situation. Mm-hmm. You pull and then you pull. I mean, if any kind of resistance, I mean, it's sometimes like a dance, in my opinion.
Yep.
Some days are going to be good. Some days are going to be awful. But the main thing is being able to understand and hold that space, as that you mentioned in the beginning.
Yes. And that's an important thing to note, is even if someone is secure or working on their attachment style to become more secure, or a woman is emotionally available, there's still going to be potential conflict in a relationship. It's actually a good sign of a healthy relationship when you're able to talk through things. If you don't feel comfortable talking to your partner about what it is that you want, right? Or even in the dating phases, of not being able to express your boundaries or your desires, right? In partnership, likely it's coming from a sense of self-worth, of feeling like your needs don't matter, of having maybe been told in the past that they don't. And so you've lost that ability, like you talked about, that gut feeling, that intuition that's so strong. You can lose connection with that, especially if you have more of an anxious attachment style, but even in avoidance too. Avoidance, it's very painful, because with anxious attachment, that anxiety, you can confuse the anxiety with the intuition. So, you know, but when you're an anxious attacher, all you want, your entire focus is on, I want this person to love me. I want this person to accept me. You are 100% convinced that is what you want. And so that's where your soul focus is going. And it feels very clear. But if you're an avoidant, what happens a lot of the times, and this is why it can be so painful, is what you want is unclear, because you think you found this great person. You can see on paper, like, all these things are great. And you're like, why don't I feel?
Like, what is wrong?
Right. Why don't I feel? And this can actually happen with anxious attachers, with other more secure, emotionally available people too, because they don't feel that flame. And so it can feel flat. It can feel flatlined. But avoidants have a lot of internal conflict within themselves of, is this me? Is this them? I don't know. And then it's an exit. And so it, as much as it's not as painful when it comes from feeling insecure about yourself, because most avoidants go back out into the dating world, they're like, it was them, not me. We're good.
Of course. It's always easy. I mean, I've actually told a friend of mine, I was like, listen, if the girl's telling you or the guy, it doesn't matter, all their exes are crazy. Mm-hmm. That's a massive red flag.
Sure. Yeah.
Massive.
Taking responsibility is so important, and ownership for your peace.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. There's maybe potentially opportunities there for you to share more and being a little bit more vulnerable and saying, listen, I really had a good time, but there's a couple of things that you said that I would like to have a conversation with you about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's opening the door.
Yes. And with online dating, it can be so tempting to be like, oh, not the right person. Close that door. I'm just going to get back online and find somebody else.
I've never done online dating. Yeah. So, but
I love online dating.
Do you?
Yes. I had so much fun when I was single and dating with online dating. And that's what I try to teach men about too, is it's like you're meeting these women that you wouldn't have normally met otherwise, potentially. And you're just creating you're casting a wider net at a certain point. And now, of course, it's way more fun when you know how to build your profile, when you know how to communicate, when you know how to put yourself out there and ultimately market yourself. And that's what I help you know, my clients do as well too, is to market themselves.
It's actually breaking down their profiles like it's in like a, yes. like a social media platform or something.
Yes. Sounds and like. You want your profile. It's like same thing with marketing. You're targeting a specific audience. So the type mm-hmm. of woman that you want, your message to her is going to be very different than the type of woman another man might want, mm-hmm. depending on your goals, depending on who you are, what values you want to share with her. But online dating is, it's super fun. And I love guiding men through it as well too, because what's attractive to men is very different than what's attractive to women online.
And I'm not saying I'm opposed. I've never done it. Yeah. Right. It's, you know, the way I look at it, so focused. I'm like one of those people that just are dialed in of mm-hmm. focus mm-hmm. when I'm driven on something and passion, right? And obviously using that as rocket fuel. So, but it doesn't really feel like I'm going to get to, that is going to serve me, get to the outcome that I'm searching for, then I just don't do it. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of times I feel that most people, you know, I think, especially if you get to around like 38 to 45, they're like, mm-hmm. oh shit, it's over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my grandfather used to say to me is like, you know, and this is way back in the day when you get married, like at 17, 18 years old, but you got to find someone. You don't even need to find yourself and discover yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of people are just walking into every relationship or every encounter with people bleeding on everybody because they are not willing to go back deep inside mm-hmm. and to address or even be aware of their conscious and subconscious. You mentioned that a lot. That subconscious, you can get to a certain point and God will give you everything that you've ever asked for mm-hmm. just to torture you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I've seen that with someone. They'll give you everything you've ever asked for.
Yep.
And you can't accept it. You can't accept it because you're an idiot.
Yes. Right. I mean, that's what, you know, I always say is your dream woman could literally walk into your living room. And if you haven't done the work to actually be ready for her, you will tell her to leave. Mm-hmm. You will literally tell her to leave. It is so important because this is also huge with men is they don't always practice receiving, which is the feminine energy. And so if you're always doing, you're always planning, you're always going, you're always leading, you can't actually receive the love that a woman, especially a very deeply core feminine woman, wants to give. It can feel very uncomfortable. And so you can start overgiving, right? So that's where the overinvestment comes, the overgiving.
You can't recycle.
Yes, you can't recycle. And so, it's so, I love the way you said that. The universe will give you everything you've wanted just to torture you.
Just to torture you. No, it's true. It's facts. Facts. Yeah. Just to mess with you.
Yeah. Be like, oh, no, there's still work to do. And just to caveat that, there's always work to do.
Always. It's never going to stop. That's the whole point.
That's the point. Yeah. So, you know, I've seen that a lot with men too, who think, well, when I get to a certain financial status, when I get to a certain place in my life, when I feel this certain way about myself, then I'll start dating. Yeah,
then, no.
But that place sometimes doesn't always come because, especially if you're a guy like the men I work with and you want to achieve and you want to grow more and you're building these empires, you know, there's always more to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's a matter of just making that decision, deciding that you're ready to do it and ready to commit to doing the work around it as well too.
Right.
I
love this. It's funny. It's actually triggered a conversation that I've had with someone. Mm. I was like, listen, if we're not having conversation and building businesses and taking over the world, like I want to be like thinking in a brain and shit. Like, what are we doing today to take over the world? That type of relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyone can go out to eat and have sex. Okay.
Yes. So,
I'm just not down for that. Okay. Where I'm at in my life, you got to be driven just as much as I am.
Yes. 100%.
However, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not like you start getting into that battering ram type of situation, mm-hmm. but I need to be passionate about something.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do all day long?
Yes.
You know? Like, what do you do when, like, you know, what are some of your thoughts? Like, what are some of the things that, what are some ways that I make you feel? Mm-hmm. That's a great question to ask someone mm-hmm. in a dating process.
Mm-hmm.
What
number date would you ask a woman, how do I make you feel?
After a couple times, I guess you would say. I mean, you would come in for the first time, like, how do I make you feel? Right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, it sounds like, what is it, D'Angelo? How does it feel? And like, you know, like, that song.
You're like, so but, are you feeling this? Are you good? Like, are we going
Are you feeling this? Date? Like, are we good? Like, do I have something on my face? There's a Wedding Crashers. That remember Vince Vaughn? Yes. I love that part. I can actually just go nuts. Like, am I somewhere on my face? Am I eating too much? Do I come out with the ass out lean? Do I, you know what I mean? It's a very uncomfortable situation. But no, I would probably ask that question depending on if I felt, if it was open to have that type of conversation. Yes. Sometimes you have to be 100% present in the moment. Mm-hmm. And the conversation will just come fluent.
Yes.
If you're willing to receive, but that's what I'm talking about, that recyclable space.
Yes.
You're holding space. If you're close enough and you spend enough time with that individual and learning some of areas of opportunity, I really don't want to talk about, okay, this is her bad things and this is my bad things.
Right.
I mean, we're all dysfunctional idiots running around this planet, okay? Attracting things into our life and these lessons that we need to learn until God gives you everything you ever asked for. Be like, damn it, why can't I achieve it? You know, like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. But those type of situations, you just have to be willing enough to be open to criticism.
Yeah. Or not even criticism, feedback, just someone else's experience.
Not too much feedback. Yeah.
Someone else's experience of you is important to be able to hear. And I love the way that you phrased how does it feel to be around me? Like, how are you feeling being around me? Because a lot of men will ask where are we going? Like, do you like me? Right. They'll ask some sort of question out of affirmation, but it's not even direct. A woman will take that as, well, I'm on it. Like, why do you need me to affirm you right now? So it comes off as that neediness versus asking a very open question that's not loaded, right? Around how are you feeling so far about our interactions? She has the opening to say, you know, I feel really great. There's some things that I still don't know about you yet, and I'd really like to learn. And then you go, what are those things?
Yes.
And you can have a more open dialogue and continue to then plan together. That gives an opening where it's like, well, you know, of course, I'd like to experience longer periods of time with you. And you're like, that's great. And as the masculine, or if you have a boundary around how much time you want to spend with a woman early on, you can say, I'd love to spend more time, elongated time with you too. You know, let's build up to that. Let's talk about how we build up to that, because I would love to experience that with you too. And that allows you to still sit in the seat of, you're also qualifying her. It's not just, oh, you want to spend more time with me? Okay, how about this Saturday? Let's go 8-hour trip and I'll take you away for the weekend.
My assistant. Yeah.
Right? So that's why it's so important that you also know what your boundaries are. So it's not about playing hard to get. It's simply being solidified in those so you can stay true to yourself, because when you start to do things to please her, it's a form of self-abandonment.
Yes.
And the more you abandon yourself, the less you respect yourself. And so the less confident you're going to feel, the less able you're going to be to actually show up as your best self in relationship. And that's what creates that conflict.
Yeah, well, I would say in this type of situation, I mean, you don't, this is a good marketing thing, which you just said, it just came to my mind. It's like situationship.
Yes.
Relationship.
Yes.
Because
<laughs> <laughs>
everyone just had, most people have situations.
Yes.
Well, I'm kind of seeing this first. Yeah.
Yeah. It's much easier to have a situationship. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, you're just fine. And especially now with this online world now we live in, because of, you know, some shifts that with, you know, COVID, and then now going back to real life and people trying to date, and they're a little bit more accustomed to not. They're a little bit more antisocial because they're not used to obviously being around a lot of people. I know for myself, I'm a super empath. So me going around a lot of people, I guess underestimated the amount of energy that I was conserving all day of not being drained by, we call them idiots, right? Or people that are sucking the joy out of you. But that's why having those boundaries there are important. And having boundaries of reinforcement, the same not the same boundaries from other individuals. You can have a completely night and day relationship, you know what I mean? Different personality types or avoidance styles, and have a really powerful relationship if it matches well.
Yes. So, you know, when it comes to matching each other, it is possible for an anxious and avoidant who are both invested in the work and invested in understanding themselves and their tendencies and taking ownership of that and being communicative around that to have a very strong relationship with a lot of polarity as well too. The only issue is a lot of the times, depending on the level of avoidance or the level of anxious attachment.
Or level
it can, leave both people right. feeling like their needs aren't being met, right? The avoidant isn't getting their need for space and autonomy, and the anxious attacher mm-hmm. isn't getting their need met for closeness and for intimacy. And what happens a lot of the times is the anxious attacher is the one to compromise at the end of the day. Right. And so they can feel very lonely in relationship. Now, this is also why the work is so important. We say work very broadly in this sense is because a lot of the times what anxious attachers feel they need in relationship is sometimes what they actually need to learn to give themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important. What I take my clients through is understanding, okay, let's list out everything you want in a relationship. Like, don't let any past relationships that have told you, you can't have this, you're too needy, you know, whatever it is. I want you to write out if you are in a completely, you know, utopia, what needs would be met. And then we go through those and we go through those and we go, okay, is this a desire for connection? Or is this a need for affirmation? And if it's a need for affirmation, we need to look at, okay, how can you give that more to yourself? If right. it's a desire for connection, it's like, okay, that's a boundary. That's and boundaries too also, guys, aren't just like a stop. It's also a boundary of this is what I need in relationship. And if you're not getting that met to set the boundary around, I don't know if this is the right fit for me or not. Mm-hmm. Boundaries, I think, also get misconstrued because they're actually meant to bring you closer to somebody.
Yes. I love that. Thank you for saying that. I also actually going to go with, and not to cut you off, but you looking at those boundaries as areas to be able to take that fence and mention the fence, right? Mm-hmm. And actually take the fence together. And now you'd have two boundaries that have come together as one, and it's a little bit stronger.
Yes. Right?
So that's the way I look at it. You remember those picket, not the picket fences, but you would take a fence and you can actually splice the fence.
Sure.
Way back in the day. I don't know. Maybe
I've never built a fence before.
Maybe I'm thinking about my mom's garden when she used to plant, you know,
I think I know what you might be talking about. Yeah.
Right.
No, so, I love that. Because when people know where they can and can't go, they feel safe and they feel like, okay, well now I know where I can and can't go right now. So I can explore all the places I can.
Right.
And feel really confident that I'm in the right space. Right. So it does create that closeness together.
I had a conversation. I think it was on the show, but we're talking about you can't have it all. You can have it all, but depending mm-hmm. on what your all is mm-hmm. and what their all is, it needs to meet, obviously match well, right? Match the other's needs or wants or desires. But I feel that some people are not asking the who, what, when, why, how questions, mm-hmm. but diagnostic questions enough. Mm-hmm. Of challenging conversations. Like men sometimes, I'm going to say sometimes, what we want is we want power, mm-hmm. right? However, we're not willing to compromise that power. So if a woman can make you feel powerful, that's mm-hmm. like the best thing ever for us, mm-hmm. okay? But mm-hmm. depending on too much power, you get a big head and you run down a situation and you think you can come into a situation and actually win, but you're going to get lost, right? So mm-hmm. my girl told me I was good looking, It's like, no, not really. But it's all about how they making the other person, how they make you feel, right? And mm-hmm. communicating that. And then mm-hmm. sometimes being overbearing. I'm too much for 90% of people. I know that. I'm too much. I have a
Or are they just not enough for you?
Well, right? I mean, you can look at it. Thank you for stroking my ego a little bit on that. But sometimes it's not just matching that type of level of energy and where you sometimes are in a different phases mm-hmm. or in you are in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely. Those phases and those seasons, you could be, some people are trying to attract a person into their life and they attract the wrong one and the same woman over and over and over.
Yeah.
Just different skin because God's giving you everything you were asked for. Right. But you just haven't learned your lesson.
Yes. Well, when you attract the same person over and over again, and we touched a little bit on this in the beginning, you're likely trying to heal something that. Yep. And usually subconscious that hasn't been healed.
Right.
And that can come from your attachment style. It could just come from your limiting beliefs, your inner dialogue, right? That that roommate, as they call it in the untethered soul, right? That voice in your head. And so that's why being able to look within yourself is so important. So you don't keep reenacting that in mm-hmm. relationship and instead become more healed and more whole, not always like completely whole, right? We always have work to do, but becoming more integrated into yourself so you aren't attracted subconsciously to someone who triggers that wounding, and therefore then you try to heal with that person. But instead, you can actually be attracted to a person who doesn't trigger that, because for you, when that's healed, when there's a, you know, beautiful scar over that wound, then when someone comes and tries to poke at it, you're like, that I don't feel anything, right? Powerful. There's no pain. I don't feel anything. So I don't feel anything for you anymore. Oh, I don't feel that same chemistry with you anymore because that wound is healed. And now I can look over at the dream woman and go, yeah, I'm ready for you. Because I'm ready to hold space for you. I can hold space for myself. You have to be emotionally available for yourself before you can be that for anybody else.
Mom used to say that when I was a kid. I was like, yeah, whatever, mom. Right. I mean, they pretty much pay attention long enough. Your parents tell you everything you need to know. Yes. I look at sometimes those battle wounds or scars is where those triggers used to be and buttons used to be. Like, well, those buttons no longer work. I've seen people be in horrific relationships and end up getting back together through time, like 10 years later or whatever that might be. And oh my God, when I was young, we tried this the first time. I mean, depending on people, for myself, it depends on the type of level of portrayal or the type of level of trying to ruin someone's life. I'm not sure, trying to get to your previous relationships and obviously learning opportunities, like a call. But going through smear campaigns and attracting, you know, like sometimes covert narcissists or people with, you know, and I believe that all of us have some type of form of narcissism to an extent, or some act, some don't, right? But you have to go through those seasons and go through those, obviously that journey we call life, and try to communicate as much as possible. And if you're not communicating, you're not feeling like you're being reciprocated on the energy that you're pouring into that relationship, then there's a lot of resentment there. I have a hard time with that resentment piece previously, right? That they would end up resenting how hard I was working because they can't understand they couldn't understand my vision, and I wasn't equipped enough with the words to be able to communicate what I was going after.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And I find this, it typically happens is the guy will end up getting divorced, or the guy or a woman sometimes, whatever. You see it a lot with obviously celebrities, it's both genders. You get to a certain point and then they hit that certain level of success and they could get the new money syndrome and they don't know what to do with themselves. And that's challenging on relationships, especially if both people haven't come from a lot of wealth. What are tips that you would give people that some from your experiences, obviously coaching? Because the reason why I asked this question, you coach a lot of high producers, high level producers, right?
Correct.
And they get to a certain point. Now they're looking for love. Well, like you mentioned before, you know what I mean? You can't just wait till you get to the point. You got to create the perfect time for yourself, right?
Sure.
What kind of tips would you give someone in that type of situation?
Yeah. Well, I would say a good chunk of men, over 50% that I work with, have been either in a long-term relationship previously or have even been married, sometimes multiple marriages. And so, you know, it is so important to be able to be open to love again in the first place, right? Because there can be a lot of fear. And
don't confuse loneliness for being ready, right? So
correct. Yes, absolutely. Loneliness and readiness are two different things. Loneliness is simply an emotion, a feeling of absence, right? Which actually will tell you what it is that you do desire. And desire is such a strong word that I like to use, because want actually shows lack, right? If you want something, it's because you believe you don't have it, right? So when you desire something in your life, that's actually really powerful. And loneliness can sometimes spark that, but you want to make sure that that's not the only thing that you're acting out of, that you're acting out of readiness. And part of that readiness is understanding yourself, taking ownership for past relationships and the dynamics between those, looking at, okay, how did I show up in that? How did she show up in that?
Right.
what attracted me to a relationship like that in a first in the first place? Were there other relationships that look similar to this, right? This kind of like a relationship inventory to try to understand patterns. And then to truly get clear on what it is that you do want. And so a lot of what I do with my clients, in addition to the limiting belief work, the subconscious work, which is necessary in order to manifest. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the work I do is based on law of attraction, where what you are thinking, what you put your focus on is what you create in your life.
100%.
So a lot of the times what happens with men who don't feel like they're ready for love again is they have these beliefs that show them all of this evidence of why they're not ready all around them. Because if your brain believes it, it has confirmation bias, it's going to show you as much evidence as possible that what you think is true. So it takes a conscious effort to then change those thoughts and focus on what you do want. And it's just like, it's magic.
I'm speaking my language right now. I'm like about to burst into confetti. I'm so excited.
Well, manifestation, that's like the fun part, right? So I take on a client. I'm like, okay, let's go through all the junk. Let's look at, let all of the.
Like you hoard her with emotions right now.
Right.
What is going on in your house?
And now let's do the fun stuff. Right. And the manifestation stuff is always fun because you get to decide what you want. You create that partnership, you create the opportunities, you create the dating opportunities as well too, mm-hmm. because you have to visualize it. You know, speaking to men, athletes, before they go on and play any sporting event or go on for a game, they right. visualize what they want to happen. The right. same can be applied to your dating life. What does it feel like to be
everything.
On a date?
Right? It's everything in yes. life. You can, and I love that you mentioned in the wanting and a desire. Wanting mm-hmm. takes you away from actually whatever that might be. You're just acknowledging mm-hmm. what you haven't accomplished yet. A lot of people aren't aware of even some of the words they use. Mm-hmm. That you can intensify or detensify anything that actually yeah. removes you away from your source. Mm-hmm. And if you're not dialed and tapped into your source and what brings you satisfaction, joy, fulfillment, those all just ticking in boxes, and you're not willing to do that for yourself, you're never going to be able to show up properly.
Right.
In any relationships, business relationships, mm-hmm. any ship, okay? Yeah. And any ship, if it doesn't have the right boundaries or structure in place, you're going to sink.
Yes.
Game yeah. over. So when you get to that point where you're not in a collaborative space, I guess you would call it, mm-hmm. of actually helping each other build on the relationship, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you can't get to a certain point. Like someone said one time that relationships are hard. Well, if you have one person working on one the whole time, mm-hmm. you know, it will be difficult.
Yeah.
And that's where you need to, I feel sometimes in like even business contracts, you should have contracts in relationships. Like, listen, mm-hmm. here's some of the things that aren't working right now. Right.
Yes.
Here are these things, right?
Yes. Well, that's what you could do. Weekly check-ins are great right. in partnerships. So this is of course, once you've gotten past the dating of process, course. You don't do a weekly check-in when you've been seeing someone for a month and a half, you know?
Right. Let's talk about the actual the approach of dating. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's something that my community sent in, and shout out to my community. If anyone's listening to this right now, make sure winject.com is done. You just go there and register for a free account. When this episode comes out, Emily has an account and everyone mm-hmm. is there able to engage. So if you're listening to this and you have any questions or you like to provide any kind of feedback, just go to winject.com/register, type in the win-win effect. You'll find it, the groups, and you can communicate back and forth. But they sent in a question about binging and breadcrumbing.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. benching and putting someone on a bench, and sometimes they find that women mm-hmm. have a starting five.
Yeah.
Right. And they have people just sitting on a bench and a six man, right?
Right.
Is that true? Would you say that that's normally in or avoidance or people in things like maybe feeling like there's not enough men out there or actually that have certain qualities, right? Having a starting mm-hmm. five. So mm-hmm. I think that's probably where they're going with that question of putting someone on a bench.
Sure.
How hard is that to overcome as a male and female?
Yeah. So females will do this actually, even if they have an anxious attachment, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of dating coaches out there for women as well too, who say, if you have an anxious attachment, and dating coaches in general will tell men this too. Mm-hmm. I've told clients this, to date multiple people. So that way your anxious attachment doesn't become so overwhelmed with one person who might be triggering you because they're actually triggering your fears. And it allows her or him to understand, okay, how are all these different people affecting me right now? And what person am I being drawn to and why? Right? It can tell you a lot, because if you're drawn to the person who's actually not showing up for you in a group of people who you've gone on dates with, right? It's important to note that it might be the person who's actually not emotionally available. And there's these other guys who are totally emotionally available and so excited to date you as a woman, and you push those away. So, you know, there's women out there. There are women out there who date multiple men from not a place of integrity, right? Mm-hmm. They're doing it in order to gain affirmation or attention. And men do the same thing, right? This isn't a gender exclusive thing.
That's why I was trying to answer the question. I was probably trying to frame the question to hit both sides. And then you probably noticed it throughout this interview that I wanted to make sure we're talking about both. I know that you specifically work on men, and that's obviously where mm-hmm. that's your niche, right? And that's where you can become very effective. And I love that about what you do, because there's not a lot of you out there that can actually help high achievers or people attracting that dream woman. And that's powerful. But when you're looking at a situation, sometimes you need to look at both sides, because it's going to give you more of an understanding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, you know, there are women out there who choose to date multiple men at the very beginning phases of dating. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So, and sometimes women will choose to do this and choose to not be physically intimate with the men until they've decided who they want to date as well too. So this isn't just a woman going around and sleeping with everybody right now either. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're talking about a woman who has options, who is exploring them in the dating world. And now there's a certain point in time where you will start to notice if she is focusing on you or not. And so as a man, if you are noticing that a woman is not focusing on you after a certain number of dates, right? And that's for you to set, right? How many dates do you want to go on with her before you notice her focus shift and allow her to then come towards you? Mm-hmm. How many dates do you need that to happen by, and at which you need to set a boundary, right? And you can set a boundary in a very assertive but also open way that can actually build her attraction towards you by saying, you know, this is actually what I'm looking for, and I'm not sensing that that's there for you. But if that is what you're also looking for, I would love to continue to see you. Otherwise, you know, we might be on different pages here. And setting that boundary with her very directly and clearly, she's like, oh, this is different.
This is different.
He's not going to just put up with my, you know, running around or like my BS, you know? So it's really important that you have those boundaries for yourself at every phase of dating. Mm-hmm. If a woman decides to go on 4 first dates with 4 men, that's her prerogative. She can do that if she's trying to understand who she truly feels a healthy connection with, or, you know, she wants to make sure that she is listening to her intuition in the process and slowing it down and not rushing into something. It is up to you to allow her to do that until it crosses your boundary, at which point you set it. And so it's really important for each individual man to understand where that boundary is. Now, breadcrumbing is easily avoided when you have boundaries. Mm-hmm. Because if you allow a woman to just come in and out after a certain period of time, right, then that's breadcrumbing. But mm-hmm. if you have that strong boundary, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important though, like that you don't ask her to show up within the first 3 dates as your girlfriend, right?
No, you're gonna treat them like, oh, I love that you said this. Oh my gosh. Please go a little bit further on this, because most people, they're trying to wife up someone at the beginning, and it's not your girlfriend yet, bro. Like, you know what I mean? You can't expect. That's when you get into those egotistical conversation, or you get into a point of view conversation, or you get into, you know, an emotional conversation. If you're not understanding how you can get to a synergetic space and recycling space, recycling mm-hmm. energy, then you're just going to have some issues.
Right.
I'm an overthinker. just because I look at every dynamic and every situation just right. because of who I am. I know myself though. Okay. Mm-hmm. But me overthinking, I need to look at ways to reassure myself rather than looking for reassurance in the relationship or in a conversation. You know what I mean?
Yes. 100%. So
that's something that I had to discover myself. But when you're looking at people kind of edging you on, I'm like, I'm not really interested. I'm kind of not interested. Well, maybe it was kind of, this date was kind of cool or this date wasn't cool. That's really hard for people to really get a gauge in if they're not tapped into theirself.
100%. And also it's important to recognize that if she just started talking to you, if you've been on one or two dates, she might be talking to other men, but it's up
be
to
okay
you to
with
not,
that.
Not focus on them. If you're focused on the competition, this is other like sports analogy, right? If you're focused on them and not on your own game, for lack of a better word here, we're not talking about dating games, but if you're focused on other people versus yourself, right? You can look at this in business too. You become successful when you focus on what you're doing and stay in your own lane, and you can look right. to other people for inspiration, but you don't look to compare to go, okay, how do I add up here?
There's no comparison because you are very special and unique in your own way. Mm-hmm. Your goal is to be able to attract the type of person that you feel that you deserve. And mm-hmm. if you're not getting, you feel what you deserve out of relationships or even in a dating process, that's a you problem. That's not an everyone problem. That's a you problem. Keep putting in the work. So I love that when you mentioned the desire point, I even take it a little step further of saying thank you already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's already happened. I just haven't caught up to reality yet.
Yep. It's done. It's happening.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, yeah. That's just the way it is. Of course. I mean, you can get to a point where you're delusional, right? Someone needs to tell you, but that's where the hard work comes in every day. If you're not, you can tell me all day long that you're telling me all the good things. And that's where I find in certain relationships and situationships that you would get to a situation where you're not getting what you feel that you deserve. But then again, you don't want to overly do it because you're trying to pursue. You're not trying to chase. And you get to like, damn, why do I keep having to chase this damn woman?
Right.
Or why do I have to get to the point where I have to chase this guy? Mm-hmm. That's difficult for people. They're just sitting there playing this game back and forth. I'm going to show up and be like, listen, on a scale of 1 to 10, Emily, 10 being like Freddy Krueger, okay? And 1 being, I don't know, Mrs. Doubtfire. How fucked up are you and how crazy are you, right?
Me?
Like, no, I'm not saying. I'm just, you know, that's kind of like my first date question, you know?
Yes. Well, I think it's like I'm blanking on the saying, but ultimately, the devil you do know is better than the devil you don't, right? Is that the saying, I believe? Yeah. And there are people who, if you are someone who is more invested in doing the work and understanding yourself, then you understand that you and all humans on this world all have our shortcomings. We're all ecosystems, right? What makes us amazing, there's also parts of us that fuel those pieces that are so loved by people in our lives that then those other pieces need to be accepted in order to keep the ecosystem nice and exactly who they love and appreciate. But when someone shows up and isn't open to looking at the parts of themselves that maybe aren't serving them or other people in their lives, it's a red flag.
Mm-hmm. You know, red flag. I mean, sometimes you can just have yellow flags. You don't have to have just red or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just use red pretty, like yellow, well, orange, red.
I know this is,
yeah, right. Yeah. So
depending if it's if you're an avoidant and you have a certain like a flag and you have a yellow flag and that, or a red one, it's a non-negotiable. Like, listen, you're going to get shot. Okay. You know, like something bad is going to happen, you know, like, so 100%. It's like, I mean, some people, like, you know, like I said before, God will give you everything you ever asked for. And it's just to torture you. Because you keep making the same perpetual mistakes over in dysfunctional routines and catching and learning more about behavior and looking and identifying patterns is more powerful in my situation or any, I guess, my opinion, if identifying those patterns. And sometimes you identify your own patterns. You can't just look out to see patterns. You have to look internal. Mm-hmm. All the answers are internal. Mm-hmm. All. So that's great. There's been so much. I can talk to you forever. We'll have to do a part two.
Yes, I'd love that.
There's one last question I would like to ask. Like, people that are jealous, or jealousy and protective. Let's end with this.
Okay.
People are protective and people are jealous, because sometimes people can get really confused on what that actually means.
Okay. So what does jealousy mean and what does being protective means? Yeah.
Yeah.
So being protective of someone you love, especially as a man, is very normal, right? It's very primal to feel like you want to protect, provide, and pronounce, right? I believe that's from Steve Harvey. And so when you start falling for a woman, when you start to have feelings for her and you want to protect her, that's a very natural response. Yes. And it can be rather beautiful. And it's what a lot of women love to see in their men, right? It's like, I feel protected. I feel advocated for. I feel supported, right? Jealousy is coming from internal wounds most of the time. Now, as humans, there is also a natural level of feeling jealous. But when you come from a place of being driven by jealousy and fear, a lot of that the times that can either come from a place of control, right? So this is if fear of intimacy. So this is a place of control where that fear of making sure that you feel more powerful than somebody else can come into play, where you have the upper hand. And if you feel like someone else is starting to walk away from that, there can be feelings of jealousy and rooted in control.
Right.
The other is the fear of abandonment, right? So if you have a really strong fear of abandonment, the idea that someone might leave you, right? Or a fear of rejection might leave you for somebody else because you don't believe that you are worthy enough to actually have this person in your life.
Ding, ding,
then
ding.
You are going to, I appreciate, thank you for the applause. then you are going to come from a place of fear versus love, right? So to sum it up, protection is love and jealousy is fear. It's not actually coming from a place of love. It's coming from a place of control or a place of lack.
Right. I mean, a lot of people don't trying to protect. You protect something you've deemed to be valuable to you. You cherish. A lot of people, they get to a certain parts of their relationships. And especially, I'm the kind of person, I'm massive on loyalty. But loyalty does have an expiration date. Now, you mentioned Steve Harvey. So that's kind of how funny that how that happened. And I heard him say that once because it's true. You can get to the point to where that loyalty runs out. And like, listen, there's some signs that you're hitting me with that, you know, they're going to lead down to this path because history is proving this is what's going to happen. But when you get to that certain point, you can get to like going out to dinner. When I look at some girls or I look at some guys and they have the same socio like economic system or, you know, around them, same gender, same type of financial status, whatever, they don't have like they're open to other different cultures. That's a massive red flag for me.
Sure.
Massive. Like we're getting hit now with a boulder. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, so I appreciate you coming on. This has been fun. We'll have to do part two. Maybe we'll do an IG live or something when this comes
out. That'd be great. Yeah.
Right, it'd be fun. So guys, if there's anything else, you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can find Emily, just go to Emily Freeman Coaching. I have a banner somewhere over here. Forgive me. So Emily Freeman Coaching, you see it. If you're people watching this right now on IG, pretty much anywhere, but you'll just find the show notes and go to the community. You'll find her anywhere. Anything you would like to leave our listeners with today? You've been great. I love this interview.
Yeah, this was so wonderful to be on the show. I had so much fun talking. As you said earlier, we could probably talk for hours about all of this. And so I just appreciate you holding the space here. This work is so important for men and for women. And I'm just so happy to be here and to be of service for it. And I think the last thing is just to remember that, you know, perfection isn't real, right? You and I have talked about perfectionism and you can't mess it up with the right person. So once you get to that place where you're understanding yourself, you're understanding your tendencies, you can't mess it up with the right person. So take a little bit of that pressure off your shoulders when it comes to dating.
Everything comes to those who put in the internal work, right? I mean, that's the main focus. But thank you again, guys. Peace out. Much love. Follow Emily. You cannot miss her on Instagram. I'm telling you, once you get into her ecosystem, and I guess in the algorithm, you'll see her pretty face in there. Talking about this is what's wrong with you people.
No,
but it's all good.
Here to help. Yes.
All right, guys.
Yes. I can't wait to meet you all on Instagram.
Right. Y'all take care. Peace out. Much love.